With the 13th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome inside the Players Hotel here in Mobile, Alabama. I am Alex Smith alongside Fran Duffy as we're coming to you from Radio Row here in Mobile, the site of the Senior Bowl. Fran, day one is in the books. An exciting day. A lot of back and forth going to each of the different practices. But now we get a chance to relax and kind of discuss everything we saw.
Absolutely. Now we can kind of collect our thoughts here. Obviously, a very busy day. It started with the weigh-ins this morning here at the Player Hotel and then obviously transitioned quickly to the very first practice. We got to see the South team in action first and then transitioned to the North squad later on this afternoon. It was a busy day as well with Howie Roseman speaking to the media, Frank
yep.
Reich, the offensive coordinator, speaking with the media as well after the North practice. So a very busy day, a lot to get to in this podcast.
Absolutely. And just mentioning the weigh-ins really quickly, the first time that I've got to experience
yes.
the Senior Bowl weigh-ins.
Of course.
It lived up to all expectations, I think. I think that's fair to say.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
It was good. It was.
We had to prep you pretty intently.
It was a pretty thorough prep, but it was a packed room. Obviously, I know there are so many different NFL people down here and so many different football people in general down here, but that room was just packed. We had to get there like a half hour early just to get a seat, but a really, really interesting experience and a good chance to see some of those players up close and personal.
Yeah, no question about it. It's always interesting, and then obviously you get some of the reasonings behind why some players aren't here. You get and that was a good thing too this year is that, you know, Phil Savage said that a lot of the players that declined, first of all, that number of declined invites was lower than it ever has been. And all of the guys that did decline, they did so in a very, polite manner. They didn't go about it in a shady way that some of the players in the past had done. So that was good to hear.
I think he said it was only 16 players this year, which is the lowest it's been in a really long time. And only three players who decided not to come by their own choice. All the other guys were injured either earlier in the season or in the last few weeks.
Exactly.
But only three players, and they all responded. They all, you know, were very cordial in responding, saying that they were declining their invite. But, so here we are. As you said, Fran, a lot to get to. We have a couple of draft buzz items to start things off. Then we'll go to Mr. Relevant with Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net as he tells us which players caught his eye here on day one. Pick six, we're going to talk about some players that we've seen here today that could be potential fits for the Eagles roster in this year's draft. We'll have an unofficial visit with one of those pick six players. I'll just give that little tease. You'll have to listen to the rest of the podcast to see who it is. And then we'll go on the clock and we'll dig into the draft mailbag as we always do. So let's jump right in here with Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, a couple of items to get to in Draft Buzz. The first one here, Fran, this one comes from Gil Brandt, who wrote that Western Michigan offensive lineman Willie Beavers, who's a player that we got to see for a little bit today, he has a chance to follow in the footsteps of some of the other really good MAC players in recent years, guys like Eric Fisher and Khalil Mack. What you see from Beavers today once we got to the South practice?
Yeah, I think really the thing that you have to take into context there is those two players, Fisher and Mack, went in the top five, and I don't think, you know, I think Beavers is a nice player. I don't think that he's going to go that high, certainly in the draft. Now, this point 2 years ago, I don't think a lot of people thought that Eric Fisher was going to go that high, but obviously he had a huge week of practice here at the Senior Bowl, and it helped vault himself to the top of the draft. I still don't see that kind of a climb here for Beavers. A talented kid. I think he's got tackle guard versatility. He's got pretty light feet. The question is, mechanically, fundamentally, there's a lot of refinement that's needed there with him, and that'll be one of the big questions going forward throughout the draft process for him. I don't know that he's going to make that kind of a climb, but still an intriguing prospect, to say the least, along the offensive line.
All right, the next order of business here. This is a report from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram saying that the Senior Bowl would have been interested in TCU quarterback Trevon Boykin if he had agreed to exclusively play wide receiver. Now, obviously, we've seen Braxton Miller, a guy who has made that switch. We've seen players in the past who have come down here and switched positions for the scouts, but it sounds like maybe Boykin didn't want to do that.
Yeah, you can remember Nick Marshall last year ended up coming here to the game. He's the Auburn quarterback that ended up coming here and playing the defensive back position. That's mm-hmm. where he ended up playing at the NFL level with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the staff that coached him at the Senior Bowl. So they were hoping.
I think he stayed on their roster the whole year, too.
I believe he did. And so you obviously he was able to get that exposure to an NFL team and really made a good impression, and that ended up getting him a job. Trevon Boykin obviously was not interested in doing that. He ended up going to the NFLPA game and playing at the quarterback position instead. We'll see if that decision comes back to bite him or if it works out in his favor.
And our last item here in Draft Buzz, this one's regarding a player, a really intriguing prospect, maybe one of the best overall prospects down here in Mobile. And that's Alabama linebacker Reggie Ragland. He played inside linebacker for the Crimson Tide, but down here we saw him kind of mixing up. He played some inside, he played some outside, and apparently that's what some of the scouts down here want to see. They want to see if he can come off the edge, if he can be an outside linebacker. Where do you see him as more of a fit, Frank?
Well, we saw, and this was our first impression of him this morning at weigh-ins, a lot bigger in person than we thought. I mean, he's a very big guy. He's close to almost 260 pounds at the linebacker spot. Now, I would imagine that inside that Jacksonville defense, they're going to have him line up at that auto position, the position that they really it's a bigger guy that they ask to be an edge setter in the run game, but then also drop in coverage and rush the passer. I mean, they ask him to do a lot of different things. So I'd imagine that that's the position where you're going to see Reggie Ragland line up this week. So that'll be really good for him, because now you're going to get exposures as a pass rusher. You'll see him drop into coverage, and that's one of the big knocks and questions for him is, can he drop out and be an impact pass defender at the next level? Obviously, a very good, effective player inside the tackle box, can take on blocks, very physical downhill player, very reliable tackler, an instinctive player that I'm really, really high on. The question will be his athleticism, and obviously, at that size, that'll be the big question.
You know what? It's really interesting to me, too, when you have a guy like Ragland, who it sounds like scouts know how good he can be at the inside, playing inside. They know how good he can be at one position. So then why does he even get asked in the first place to switch to a different? Is it just, you know, so scouts can see as much of him as they can?
I think the scenario here is that now it gives him the opportunity to show if he can or can't do it. You know, some scouts may know, hey, look, or they may think, I should say, that he can't do it. But now this really gives him the opportunity to prove himself and show. And that's why we were saying this last week, actually, Alex, when we were watching the wide receiver DB one-on-ones, and the defensive backs were playing in off coverage in the offense, the receivers were running these quick slants. There's no way the defenders are going to be able to break up those passes, but they want to see them react. They want to put those guys in stress, those cornerbacks in stressful situations, to see how they react. What is their quickness like? It's a situation. It's a lose-lose situation for the corner, but how is he going to react to it? And that's a similar type situation here with Ragland. Just see how he reacts to being put in those situations.
All right, I think that'll wrap things up for Draft Buzz, and we will keep moving right along. But before we do, I want to thank everyone who's listening, whether it's through iTunes, Stitcher, or however it is that you listen to the Journey to the Draft podcast. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and perhaps what we could do better in the future. And with that, I think we'll move into our next segment here, which is Mr. Relevant, as I was able to catch up with Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net after today's first day of action here in Mobile, as Tony spotlighted a number of players that really stood out on the first day of action.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
All right, we are wrapping up day one of our Senior Bowl coverage here at Ladd Peebles Stadium. I am Alex Smith alongside Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. Tony, let's go over some of the players that really impressed today. And we'll start off on the offensive line with Jason Spriggs from Indiana.
Yeah, he was terrific. Played left tackle, protected the blind side all day. What really stood out to me is when he went up against some of the bigger, stronger defensive linemen like Jahad Ward of Illinois, was able to stop him dead in his tracks. And that's the thing with Spriggs. He's athletic. He's a good pass protector. What is his run blocking strength like? Really showed well today. I think if Spriggs has two more days like this, he's going to cement himself as a first-round pick.
One of the great things about coming to an event like this is you get to see some of the smaller school guys shine. How about Joe Haig from North Dakota State?
Yeah, protected the blind side for Carson Wentz all his career. Did a good job today. Really looked like he belonged. Didn't look out of place. Again, did a good job against players like Jason Fanica of Utah, Jahad Ward, who had a good day. You know, he was up to the task as far as Haig was. I think, again, two more days like this, he's going to cement himself as a second-day pick.
What about a guy like Cody Whitehair? He's a guy who's played guard. He's played tackle. Right. We saw him a lot at guard today here at the second practice of the day. What do you make of what Whitehair did today?
I thought he did very well. I mean, a guy who's played left tackle basically all through his senior year, was kicked inside, fundamentally sound, great position blocker, went up against some of the bigger defensive tackles on the South squad, basically didn't get beat all day. So he ranks right now as the number one guard in this year's draft. It's just a matter of can he move into that second round? He looked like he deserved it today.
Moving from the offensive line to some of the skill positions, how about Braxton Miller, a guy, of course, who played quarterback, but he proved that he's one of the best athletes out here at the South practice.
Well, and he's also one of the best receivers at the practice. I mean, he had the speed, he took it vertical, but, I mean, his route running, the way he used his hands to separate, he caught the ball relatively well. You could tell that Braxton Miller kind of picked up from where he was off of his senior year and has done a lot of technique work at the receiver position, you know, in the lead-up to the Senior Bowl. Had one play where he just used his hands to get off Eric Murray, another Big Ten opponent. Another play where he threw a double move on guys and he got wide open in the middle of the field. Unfortunately, he dropped the ball, but I mean, everything else, the little things, he's doing very well.
How about his teammate Nick Vinette, a tight end? Obviously, the Eagles signed Zach Ertz to a new contract. They signed Brent Celek to a new contract. So, talking about that tight end position, what did you see from Vinette?
Natural. I mean, all the Ohio State guys did well today. Braxton Miller, as well as Nick Vinette. He looked terrific catching the ball. He ran good routes. He was able to get down the seam. And then when they asked him to block, he more than held his own. So, I think, you know, the tight end position is very weak this year. I think Vinette's going to be the first senior tight end selected. Could be in the second day.
And we'll close up here with two guys on the defensive side of the ball. How about Jordan Jenkins, the outside linebacker from Georgia?
Yeah, forceful. He basically, as I described it earlier today, he looked like a man among boys. Great in space, was able to make plays in coverage, also forceful up the field on those pass rushing drills. Really, I think, looked terrific today.
And then the final guy here, a local guy from Philly, from Temple, Matt Ioannidis. He was really impressive in this second practice.
He had a string of about five plays where he could not be stopped, where he was constantly beating blockers, getting through double-team blocks. He was drawing the applause of coaches. His teammates were all over him. Basically, the last 5 minutes of full scrimmage, they reverted to just double-teaming him to try and slow him down. But Ioannidis, I think he went from a guy who was probably a last day pick. He's definitely moved into those middle rounds, possibly the second day. You know, the Senior Bowl is about expectations. You have to come here and exceed expectations, and that's exactly what he's done.
It surely was an exciting first day here in Mobile, Alabama. We'll have continuing coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com throughout the week. For Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, I'm Alex Smith. Stay tuned right here to PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more coverage.
Now it's time for Pick Six.
Rolling right along here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. It is now time for Pick Six. And Fran, for today's edition of Pick Six, I thought we would go with six players that we're seeing here at the Senior Bowl who could be fits for this Eagles roster. You know, people think that they could need some help up front on the offensive line, maybe a quarterback, maybe wide receiver. So we have six players here who could fit into what the Eagles need. And I'll start things off, and I'm going to go with Cody Whitehair, a tackle-guard combo. Played guard, I think, played tackle all season long in Kansas State, but he has played guard in the past. Pretty impressive at the weigh-in today. I think he measured 6'3", 300, somewhere right around there. A big kid, a physical player, and he's got that versatility to, you know, play inside or outside. Perhaps you start him inside. If you're the Eagles, you could start him inside, eventually kick him outside to one of the tackle spots if, you know, once Jason Peters decides to retire or whatever happens there. But a lot of versatility and just a lot of physical skill, I think, up front for Cody Whitehair.
Yeah, and also the one thing I noticed was that when we first showed up for warm-ups for the South team, he was actually taking some reps at center.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously with four quarterbacks here for both teams, a lot of different players are going to have reps inside at center, you know, just getting some quarterback exchange work done. And Whitehair was one of those players, so obviously looking to expand that positional versatility. Whitehair is going to be a guy that a lot of Eagles fans are going to be interested in throughout the process because of his athleticism, his toughness in the run game, and obviously his experience. He's a very, very fun player to watch. The first player I'm going to go with is quarterback Carson Wentz, and obviously a guy that we've talked a lot about. He's an impressive player. The season that he had this year, even in limited action, was very, very impressive. I saw a lot of pro-style traits from Wentz, his ability to work in the pocket, his ability to throw with anticipation. He's a good decision maker. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. I saw a lot of things from a pre-snap perspective and working at the line of scrimmage to put his offense in good position to succeed. I was really impressed with what I saw from Wentz. And even today with the South squad or with the North squad, I thought Wentz had a good day overall.
Yeah, I thought he did as well. Really excited to see what he can do moving forward here as well. Next guy up on my list, I'm going to go with the guy that we already talked about at the beginning of the podcast, and that's Reggie Ragland, the linebacker from Alabama. And yeah, I've said it before, but I think he could be perhaps the top overall player here. Just a guy who can do it all in the middle of the defense. We're seeing him play a little bit outside now. We know he can play inside. Just a guy who brings that full package. You mentioned earlier just how big of a player he is, and we saw that at the weigh-ins today. Just a wide body, a really strong, really big lower half, a guy who could just make a difference on a defense. If he's there at number 13, I think it would serve the Eagles very well, especially when you consider that they may be moving to a 4-3. They could need some. They could always use more depth
No question.
At the linebacker position. So I think Reggie Ragland would be a very interesting could be a very interesting fit for the Eagles.
Yeah, and I think that that's a position where, like you said, you can definitely look to address when you talk about the defense and where they're going right now, and as potentially a switch to a 4-3 because of his ability to play a number of different positions. Along that same line, I want to talk about Louisiana Tech defensive tackle Vernon Butler, a guy that I was really impressed with when I watched him on tape. I watched him very early in the process this fall, and I was really impressed with. He's got great length. He's a good athlete for his size. I mean, I think he came in, looking at his height here, he came in at just under 6'4", 325 pounds. He's got really long arms. He's got a great wingspan. So you work on that frame, and it's a guy that I remember watching and thinking, man, he could play in a number of different schemes. He could play one gap. He could play two gap. His ability to play a number of different positions along the line for Louisiana Tech was really, really impressive. I think Butler is one of the more physically imposing interior defensive linemen in a very talented group overall here. I talked about that yesterday. Is just this overall defensive line group, I think, is very, very strong. And I think Butler is right up there with a lot of those guys.
The final guy on my list here in pick six is going to be Oklahoma wide receiver Sterling Shepard. This guy's been really impressive to me. He's not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10", 193, but he kind of fits that slot receiver mold that we see in the NFL. Now, of course, under Chip Kelly, the Eagles had Jordan Matthews in the slot. They tried to really, you know, buck the trend and go with a taller wide receiver rather than a smaller, speedier guy. And Jordan Matthews had a lot of success in the slot, but I'd like to see what he could do on the outside as a true outside number one or number two wide receiver. And I think Sterling Shepard could be a guy that you could plug right in as the Eagles slot receiver. He's a quick player, a speedy guy, good hands, smooth route runner. I've watched him a little bit here or there, but I've always been impressed with what he's been able to do. Just, you know, bringing that extra element to the Eagles offense thing could be really interesting to see.
I think Shepard is one of the best receivers down here, so I think that's a good pick, and it's certainly a guy that can win both inside and outside in this Eagles offense. And then speaking of winning inside and winning outside, Jalen Mills from LSU is a guy that I'm really, really intrigued by. I thought coming into the year that he was the best safety in the senior class. He's just over 6 foot, a shade over 6 foot, 194 pounds. He's got a good frame. He's played corner. He's played nickel. He's played safety. And guess what? If you want to hear more about it, I actually just talked with Jalen Mills after the South practice this morning. Let's get to that right now with our unofficial visit.
The unofficial visit.
Here now with LSU defensive back Jalen Mills. And Jalen, what's interesting about you is that you played a lot of safety the last year you were in LSU, played some corner. You're listed as a corner here at the Senior Bowl. For those who have yet to see you play, give a quick scouting report of yourself.
Very versatile guy. You know, I can line up anywhere in the secondary. Football, for what I know, coming out of college, the football IQ is pretty high. I mean, but it's always room for improvement. And, I mean, just out here competing with these guys, man, they're just getting you better every day and getting ready for that next level.
Is there one area of your game, based off the feedback you've gotten from scouts, that you know you want to improve on moving forward?
Yeah. Just me just being more versatile. You know, I consider myself versatile, but you can always be better. You can always take that extra step to be just that better.
I feel like LSU is just shooting out defensive backs left and right. Is there a player in the league that you feel like you've leaned on throughout the process, throughout your career?
Yeah. Even for my freshman year, Tyron. I mean, he's been like a big brother to me. You know, I know he's going through a lot right now. I mean, just that guy, I mean, he's just so motivated. You know, when I was at LSU, he helped me when I really didn't know. And, I mean, now, I mean, if I was to have any question about, I mean, life, not even football, you know, he'll be able to tell me about anything.
And obviously, he was a guy, too, that played corner, he played nickel, he played safety, just like you. Yeah. Is that an area where you feel like you can take that to the next level as well? Because he does that with the Arizona Cardinals?
Of course. You know, just being, I mean, just that extra man, you know, not having to bring, I mean, the coaches here I've been interviewing with, not having to bring that extra guy, you know, on those away games, I mean, on that roster, you know, just being able to plug me in anywhere, I mean, whether it's safety, nickel, or corner, and guys being able to trust me to know I could be able to do my job.
And then the last question for you, Jalen. A lot of big-time receivers in the SEC. Who would you say was the best player you went up against this senior year?
SEC, in the slot, I had the – It was tough sticking Calvin Ridley, you know, young guy. I mean, but he's quick. I mean, quicker than most people think he is. I mean, but yeah, that guy's pretty good.
All right, well, Jalen, best of luck moving forward. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
On the clock.
All right, Fran, I hope you're ready because it is time to go on the clock as we have some rapid fire questions to get through here.
It's time to punch in.
Yes, it is. It is time to punch in, clock in. It is time to get to work. First question here, Fran. Mr. Universe at today's weigh-ins was, and by that, of course, we mean the most built, sculpted, statuesque player that we saw. Yes, who was rocked up on the stage today. Who was your Mr. Universe?
I would go with Southern Utah safety Miles Killebrew. That kid, as Tony Pauline would say, he had muscles on his muscles on his muscles. Definitely a guy, and he's known for the fact that he's a hard hitter. He's a downhill player, one of the more physical box safeties in this class. Definitely a guy that was very impressive seeing in person and in one of the more physically imposing safeties down here at the Senior Bowl.
So for all the scouts and media members that get to go in and watch the weigh-ins, they give you a sheet and you get to fill in all the heights and weights as they're announced. And there's also a space where you can fill in notes on each player as they come up and take the stage. And for Miles Killebrew, my exact note is eats his spinach.
That's good.
Because he had the Popeye body where he's standing up there. It's hard for me to argue with Miles Killebrew. I thought that he was really, really ripped. But I'm going to go with a local Philly guy just to be different from your answer. I'm going to go with Sean Oakman from Baylor. Let's see what he actually weighed in here.
The Oak.
Yes, 6'7", 269 pounds. I will say this. He was a little bit leaner than I expected him to be. Kind of thin. He had thinner legs, but that guy is just put together. Of course, there was the internet meme that swept the nation in the bowl game last year.
Of course.
When he was out for the captains and he had his jersey pulled halfway up. He wore his jersey that way again.
Had the half jersey going.
It's the intimidation factor, and you know what? He can work it, so I'll go with Sean Oakman.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick.
All right, next up. Who will be the first running back to come off the board from this Senior Bowl group?
To me, that's an easy answer, and it's Kenneth Dixon, one of my favorite players down here. I talked about him in yesterday's podcast. A competitive runner, it's great third down value, very instinctive guy with the ball in his hands, can do a lot of different things to make defenders miss, whether it's running through arm contact or showing the wiggle to make a guy miss in the hole. I really, really like Dixon. I think he's a lot closer to Ezekiel Elliott than the rest of the pack here in terms of the running back group. I think Jonathan Williams, the other running back that I think is really talented here from Arkansas, is there as well. But Dixon is a really, really impressive player.
Yeah, you've been really high on Dixon from the start, and it's hard for me to argue with you. But I think that another name to really keep an eye on here is Tyler Irvin from San Jose State.
Yeah.
A guy who's pretty similar to Dixon. I'm trying to look at what he weighed in today. I think he was 5'9", around 200, somewhere in that range. But a really elusive runner, showed some ability to catch the ball out of the backfield today when we were watching him. So I think that Tyler Irvin could be the name to keep an eye on along with Dixon.
Our good friend Josh Norris has made the comparison, Tyler Irvin, to Andre Ellington. And obviously Ellington had a lot of injury issues at Clemson. Those have followed through in the NFL. Irvin's explosive, really shifty player, and I think he can do a lot of different things out in the perimeter at the NFL level.
All right, let's talk about some of the small school players here.
Okay.
Fran, who will be the first small school player not named Carson Wentz to get drafted? And some of the options, Eastern Kentucky edge player Noah Spence, he was outstanding today.
And obviously these are all players that don't play at the FBS level. So
right.
It's outside of the bigger conferences, really we're talking FCS, D2, D3.
So Noah Spence was outstanding today. From Southeastern Louisiana, cornerback Harlan Miller, William Mary safety DeAndre Houston Carson's been generating a lot of buzz. Harvard tackle Cole Toner, we know he's a smart guy with that Harvard education. Southern Utah safety Miles Killebrew, who we just talked about as your Mr. Universe, and Northern Iowa corner DeAndre Hall. That's just kind of a list of some of the smaller school players that we've seen here. Fran, who's going to come off the board first?
I think it'll be Spence, and a guy who was an Ohio State transfer, went there as a big-time recruit out of Harrisburg. in Pennsylvania, just a really explosive edge rusher. You know, when I watched him when he was at Ohio State as a sophomore, I was a little concerned because I thought he was kind of a one-trick pony as a pass rusher. He won with his one outside move, and if he didn't win with that move, he was not going to win. I'll tell you what, that was not the case. The more I watched him this year as a redshirt junior at Eastern Kentucky, he showed the ability to counter once he was initially blocked with the ability to string multiple moves together. That pass rush skill that I like to talk about with those edge rushers, Spence shows that. He's got an NFL body. I thought he looked well in the weigh-ins this morning, and then he had a good day of practice as well here at day one on Tuesday. I think Noah Spence, outside of Carson Wentz, is probably the top small school player overall in the draft and certainly down here at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I always love talking about FCS guys. Noah Spence obviously is a great pick. I think I agree with you there. Another guy to keep an eye on is DeAndre Houston Carson out of William & Mary. Cornerback, he's got some pretty good size, 6 foot, 197, decent wingspan, decent arm length. But he's a player who took home a lot of the awards in the FCS for defensive players. He was an outstanding player for the Tribe, a guy who could do a lot for that defense. I like what I saw from DeAndre Houston Carson today, and I'm really excited to get to watch more of him this week and maybe possibly even get a one-on-one interview with him as well, because I think he's a very intriguing prospect.
Yeah, Carson's a guy. You know who he kind of reminds me of?
Who?
Former first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers out of Alabama.
Of course.
He kind of I'm not saying he's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Is this just because he has a hyphen in his last name?
It's not just because of that either. I just think that the way that he runs very much reminded me of him, and he's got that long, lanky body. Their body types are very, very similar coming out of school. Just the way that he plays reminds me of him. Obviously, not the quality of player that Ha-Ha was coming out, but a very impressive prospect. I think he certainly has NFL starting potential.
Next question here, we're going to look at the wide receivers, and we have a very talented group of wide receivers, obviously, down here in Mobile. Friend, which one of these Senior Bowl wide receivers is going to be the first to come off the board?
You know, I think overall when you look at it, there's a few guys you can go with. You know, I think certainly Aaron Burbridge from Michigan State, Braxton Miller from Ohio State. You talked about Sterling Shepard already from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three front runners. So really, we're talking a couple guys. There's a few other, obviously, very talented receivers here, but I think those three are above the rest. I would go Burbridge. You know, I think overall he brings a sort of a complete package. He's not as explosive as Miller. He's not as quick as Sterling Shepard. But I think he's got very reliable hands. I think he runs solid routes. He shows a really good ability to win in those contested situations. And I think he's a deceptive athlete, and that shows up in every facet of his game. I think his physicality as well shows up in every phase. Just a really impressive player in all aspects of the wide receiver position. I think Burbridge, a little underrated right now, but definitely one of the solid players and certainly seems reliable moving on to the next level.
Yeah, I think Burbridge is probably the most complete wide receiver that we're going to see down here. But when it comes to the draft, I think that some teams out there are going to be looking for that explosive player, that deep threat, a guy who could contribute in the return game as well. And I think that's what Braxton Miller is. So I'm going to take Braxton Miller as my answer here. We all know that he played quarterback at Ohio State. They switched him to wide receiver after they had Cardale Jones, after the great postseason that he had. So Braxton Miller switches to wide receiver, and he's been terrific, and he was outstanding here today. Tony Pauline mentioned him earlier, just what a terrific day that he had here. Really explosive, showed good hands, showed that he can be a smooth route runner, and again, he also showed that he could be a really lethal return man in the NFL as well. So if there's a team out there that's looking for that type of, you know, that lightning that they can add to their offense, I think Braxton Miller's the guy. I think he's going to come off the board sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Miller's definitely an impressive player and can offer a vertical element that not a lot of these players can have.
And our final question here on the clock, Fran. Let's talk about some of the Big Ten big men. Who will be the first Big Ten big man to come off the board? And by that we mean offensive line or defensive line. And there's some really good players down here. Carl Nassib from Penn State, Jack Allen, the center from Michigan State, Jason Spriggs from Indiana, Jihad Ward is a guy from Illinois that you really like, Adolphus Washington with Ohio State, and then Austin Johnson from Penn State, and Graham Glasgow, a guy that we saw at the Shrine Game. Really intriguing list of Big Ten players.
Yeah, and you mentioned Glasgow, a guy that, you know, was so far above the rest last week at the Shrine Game, and now seeing more quality talent that are more on his level here at the Senior Bowl. So interesting to see him go through that transition. But
it's almost like a minor league baseball player kind of going up the ranks.
Yeah.
When you get called up from, you know, double A to triple A. It's kind of like that. But we will see more from Glasgow as the week goes on.
No question. Now, the guy that I would go with, I think this guy's outstanding. It's Jahad Ward from Illinois, and he plays defensive end for the Illini. He's lining up at defensive end here in Mobile. I know he stood out for you in a number of different occasions in the one-on-one drills. Just a really impressive player because of his combination of size, his athleticism, his high motor. He showed the ability to win with his hands early in the down. Today in one-on-one drills, a couple times he beat Stanford's Kyle Murphy really clean off the ball. Just a really impressive physical specimen that I would expect to continue to excel down here in the week of practice as we get through the rest of the week here at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, it's hard for me to argue with your selection there, but I am going to, and I'm going to go with Jason Spriggs, the offensive tackle.
You like Spriggs.
I do like Spriggs. He impressed me at the weigh-in today as soon as he got up on the stage, and I liked what I saw from him on the practice field today. He had a couple of one-on-one situations where he was just clearly the better player. I think he's really physical. I think he can do a lot of things, and he also measured well. I mentioned that we saw him in the weigh-ins today, and he measured really well. I think he had one of the biggest. I think he has the biggest wingspan of any offensive lineman on the North roster at 81 3/8 inches. So he's got long arms, an athletic guy, a big player at 6'5". I really like what I saw from him. I think he's a really intriguing guy for the Eagles to keep their eye on.
Yeah, and he's certainly one of the more high upside players at the offensive line spot, regardless of conference. And really, that was what stood out to me was his feet. I think he's got a lot of things to do from a mechanic standpoint, from his upper body, how to use his hands, and also just the timing and his footwork. We had Lance Zierlein on yesterday, and he talked about his inability to counter those inside moves, and sometimes he was able to get beat inside. It was something I saw as well watching him this season, and that's something that he'll continue to work on as the week progresses.
All right, I think that'll close things out for On the Clock, and now we will transition into our final segment of today's podcast as we dig into our draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, Fran, let's end this edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast strong, and we'll do so by digging into our draft mailbag as we got a number of really good questions.
Really good questions tonight.
When we sent out our ask on Twitter. People obviously, I think their interest has been piqued now that the Senior Bowl practice has officially gotten underway. Our first question here comes from Raheem Jackson. We've talked about this in the past, but if Carson Wentz is available at number 13, now that you've gotten a chance to see him up close in person, if he's there at 13, will the Eagles take him?
Well, I think you have to first answer the question, will Sam Bradford get re-signed? And that's the question you have to answer if you're going to answer that truthfully. And really, if he's not here and Wentz is there at 13, I think you pull the trigger. And if he's not, or if he is here, then obviously you're looking elsewhere. And that's really what the determining factor is as far as Carson Wentz is concerned at number 13.
All right, next up, our next question comes from Bid the Kid on Twitter, who wants to know, if the Eagles do indeed move to a 4-3 defense, what positions on that defense would become priorities? And Bid the Kid here offers suggestions of safety, corner, and middle linebacker depth. I think that linebacker depth is the one spot to me, Fran, that really stands out.
Certainly. I think linebacker depth for sure is an area that you probably want to focus on if you make that switch to a 4-3, because remember, you've got two spots inside in a 3-4 that you're trying to fill. Now, if you're switching to a 4-3, you're adding another position, especially if it's a 4-3 stacked with all three of those linebackers stacked behind the line of scrimmage. Now you have to add another set of eyes there for that linebacker position. So that's why we've talked about players like Reggie Ragland at 13 and, you know, the potential for a Jalen Smith or a Miles Jack in that spot if they were to fall that far. I think those are intriguing names to be considered. I think the defensive tackle spot is an area. And, you know, you obviously said Thornton is a free agent. Right. We don't know what's happening there. You have Fletcher Cox. You have Benny Logan. But how much more depth do you have inside? You've got Taylor Hart. You've got Bo Allen.
Brandon Bear is a guy who's kind of, you know,
where he fits in.
Exactly.
Right. So, and we talk about the defensive end spot as well. And you know, you think you have Vinnie Curry as a free agent. You know, will he be back? Will he not be back? It sounds like Connor Barwin may transition to the defensive end spot. You have Brandon Graham that's there as well. Marcus Smith. What is Marcus Smith moving forward?
Sure.
There are questions. So, I agree. I think you still want to continue to add depth in the secondary, but the front seven sure needs to be addressed as well.
I agree with you 100% there. Next question here comes from Martinez on Twitter, who wants to know how deep this draft is for offensive linemen. Fran, we've talked about a number of these names in the past. We talked about Cody Whitehair at length today. Some of the other players we've seen along the line. How deep exactly is this draft for offensive linemen, in your opinion?
I think it's a really good group for guys that can play guard, and this is why this is really important for Eagles fans to hear. You don't necessarily need to. The opportunity is there for a guy like Cody Whitehair at 13, but I don't know that you necessarily need to go that high for a guy at 13, because I think it's still pretty good, even in rounds three, rounds four, because if you think about some of the names here, you know, Joe Dahl we see down here from Washington State. I think he's played a tackle at a high level at the college level. We'll probably have to transition to guard. He played mm-hmm. guard, like Whitehair, played guard early in his career, and we'll probably transition there at the next level.
And I like what I saw from Joe Dahl today when we saw him a little bit here on the first day of practice.
Sure, absolutely. And you have Jason Spriggs. We've talked about Willie Beavers. You know, Vidal Alexander, what can he be sliding inside? Connor McGovern can play guard. Bame can play guard. Glasgow can play guard.
LaRaven Clark from Texas Tech is another really interesting name to me, because we watched him during one-on-one drills a little bit today.
Yes.
And at times he was dominant. He was flat-out dominating the player across from him. He's a big player, big-bodied guy. Another
played guard.
Name. Yes,
and played guard
absolutely.
Early in his career. Was the right guard for Texas Tech and showed the ability to play inside. Max Turk, who was coming off the ACL, can certainly play at guard. Christian Westerman, Jack Allen can play at guard. Sebastian Tritola, Josh Garnett. I mean, we've talked about it. This is 10, 12 names. I mean, this is a really good group overall for the guard spot in this draft. I think overall there's really good depth there at that position.
All right, and our final question here in today's draft mailbag, this one comes from Andrew Rafferty, who sent in a good question on Twitter. He wants to know, if the Eagles do take a wide receiver, which type of wide receiver are they looking for? Someone tall like a Josh Doctson, someone fast like a Corey Coleman, or someone tough like an Aaron Burbridge, who we already talked about? Fran, the way you look at it, do the Eagles have a type of wide receiver that they're looking
for?
No,
I don't think that there's a type that they're necessarily looking for, and I think that they could use some of both. I think that you could still stand to add a nice 6'4"
sure.
target, you know, a guy that can go down in the red zone and be dominant. Overall, though, I think they need to add more speed on offense, and I think that that's something that everybody would be willing to suggest that is definitely needed on this offensive side of the football. Someone that can get down the field and threaten defenses vertically is definitely a sore spot right now that couldn't be added. So could be size. Could be speed. I think a little bit of both would be great. I don't think that you're gonna necessarily look one way or the other. I think you're looking for the most talented players, because really that's what it's all about this time of year, is trying to find the best players available to add to your roster and supplement what you already have.
How many receivers, in your opinion, how many receivers in this year's draft are that complete package? Because it seems like we have a lot of guys who are kind of specialty guys. You know, they're good at one area of the game or another. But how many guys in this year's draft are kind of that complete package who can do everything?
So really what it comes down to is how, and this is stealing a thing that Josh Norris has been harping on, and we've had these discussions over the last couple of years, is how do you win? And for receivers, it's when you win one of two ways. You either win with your quickness and speed, and that's winning the small game, or do you win with your size and your length at the catch point in those contested situations, and that's winning in the big game. It's rare that you have receivers that can do both, and that's really what you're talking about when you're talking about some of these complete receivers. So, you know, can Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh be that kind of a player? I think he can be. You know, Corey Coleman obviously is a great athlete for the position. He's got great speed. He's got great quickness. I think he'll be one of the more impressive standouts at the wide receiver position at the combine if he's able to go, because he's coming off an injury. You know, I think that Coleman also shows the ability to go up and win in those contested situations. Can Josh Doctson, more known for his ability to win at the catch point, he has shown the ability to win as a route runner with his quickness, and he's improved in that area this year. Can he be that guy? Laquan Treadwell, you can say similar things about. Sterling Shepard has shown the ability, even though he's a smaller guy, to go up and attack the football. So all these guys have shown the ability to. Now it's, can you consistently do it at the NFL level? That's what everybody that's in this building right now is hoping to try and find out.
And one more follow-up question here from Andrew Rafferty on the back end of his question about wide receivers. He wants to know how much hand size matters at the wide receiver position.
I'll tell you what. Hand size matters if you watch a guy and you see that he has a lot of drops. And if you watch a guy and he sees he doesn't have a lot of drops and he's got small hands, then you're not worried about it, because he's finding a way to be effective despite the fact that he's got small hands. So, I think that really that's what it comes down to. Do you want a guy with big hands? sure. But I don't think that that's something that you're necessarily going to eliminate a guy completely because his hands are small.
All right, so there you have it. I think that's going to wrap things up here on the latest edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. We want to thank everyone who listened. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher or however it is that you listen to your Eagles podcast. So I think that'll wrap things up here for day one. We'll have complete coverage throughout the week as we continue to watch some of these top prospects down here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. So for Fran Duffy, I'm Alex Smith, and we'll see you all tomorrow.